Yes. Yay. Hey. We are here on the GWLP on March 7th, and we have nothing happen this week. We had a few things happen this week. I want to hear first off what happened in the life of Liam Ellis this week. That's good. That's cool. I bet. That sounds great. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Whoa, and you were there. Wow, that's pretty awesome. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, that's awesome. That's pretty great. I had a great weekend. I went to Florida this weekend and I went to Florida and came back. My flight flew in a few hours before closing night of Little Women, so I got to come back and do closing night of the show. And then started rehearsals last night for Songs for a New World, which is the spring department show that I'm doing, which is really fun. They expanded the cast. We got about 10 people in the cast, which is really fun. Six female identifying, four male identifying, and then we got three on stage understudies with the band. So it should be really cool. I'm excited. I just forget how damn hard Jason Robert Brown music is. I would take Sondheim over Jason Robert Brown any day. What do you mean? Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I'm seeing him a week from today. Oh, no, week from tomorrow. Because he's... Oh yeah, no, he's amazing. Yeah. No, I agree. Like some of the chords in these songs. The best part about Jason Robert Brown music is he won't set up what is objectively like the best chord that the four characters are singing in the show on the big like held out note. It'll be like the one before, and it'll be like, ooh, that's really cool, but you only sang it for a split second, and then you're singing like an augmented G minor 7, and then it's like it's cool, but it's not like the pretty chord, and that's what I love about his music. But it's fun. It's hard, but it's fun. And, he'll, as far as I know, he's there conducting parade every night. So I'll get to see him on Wednesday, which will be pretty great. But let me throw some fast facts at you if you're ready. No, but I'll share it with you. So, fast facts for today. Danson started previews. We have a new Elphaba on Broadway. Shucked has announced a lottery and a rush. The Mean Girls movie musical started the production, and Ashley Park has joined the Mean Girls movie musical. Anthony Rapp's off-Broadway show has extended. Carousel with Kelly O'Hara is coming to Broadway HD. I gotta get Broadway HD. I've been wanting to watch that, like, stuff on there for a while. No Josh Henry, at least as far as I think, because I don't think it's a... I don't know. I just saw this point, like, this tidbit an hour ago and did, like, barely any research and was like, oh, was this, like, the Broadway revival? But I think the Broadway revival had... It wasn't Kelly O'Hara. Who was it? It was someone else. It was this one has Kelly O'Hara, Nathan Gunn, Stephanie Blythe, Schuler Hensley. But Carousel with Josh Henry. Yeah. The most embarrassing thing ever is not remembering who Jesse Mueller is. But I wish it was that, because then I would like give them all of my money. But I mean, still, I've actually never seen Camelot fully. I think I've just listened to all the music. But I gotta do that. I wanna watch that. What did I say? Oh, Carousel. Meant Carousel. Ricky Rojas is coming back to Moulin Rouge. They continue to bring their OG stars back to Moulin Rouge, which is really interesting. They're also bringing an OG London cast member over in Sophie Carmen Jones, starting on April 11th. They will take over as Santiago and Nini. Yeah, this is like the third or fourth cast member that has come out of they've left Moulin Rouge, done something else, and then come back. Aaron Tveit did that, and now Ricky Rojas is doing that. And I think it's really cool that they're going to bring over an OG London cast member, because I don't feel like you see that very often. Like, as a supporting lead, as she's playing Nini. So I think that's great. I really love that. I still don't know who Jojo is, who is playing who is new Satine. Yeah, that's kind of what I gathered. But I still don't, like, I feel like there might be something I've seen her in or anything, but I don't know. Other cool news is that A Doll's House opens on Friday? I'm saying Friday temporarily. I really want to see that. The ending to the show is really cool. They did something really cool. If you know the play A Doll's House, the end of the show, the last moment in the show, is really cool and important and symbolic. And they took a small liberty and did a really, 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 really cool thing with it. It got spoiled for me on TikTok. Don't do that. Please don't do that, folks. But this show looks really good. If something falls through during my trip and I can't see a show that I have lined up for, I want to see A Doll's House really bad, because Jessica Chastain is really good. This show looks awesome. I bet you it's going to extend. Hot take. I also made a TikTok. So if you guys need to go follow me on TikTok at Savvy Gavi, Liam, where can people follow you? Easy. You can follow us at Gavin with Liam everywhere. But anyways, go. I made a TikTok about my TikTok yesterday. So I made a video basically just saying, like, we should make Broadway bows like electric and awesome. And like, we should read characters' names when they come out and like put their name up like behind them on the screen. And Danson started previews this week. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing at Danson. And it's like announcing the cast of Danson. And then like each of the dancers come out, they get their little name read. Not little name. They get their name read. Their name goes up on the screen. They take their little bow. It's like super cool. And it's exactly what I was saying we should do. I think more shows should do this, assuming that the end of the show isn't tragic and sad. And like, it's the end of the show's like really like MJ. I think MJ should do this. I think it'd be so awesome if like it goes up onto the screen, the lights come down, and it's like boom, 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 boom. He shoots up through the floor. It's like Miles Frost. Bow, bow, bow. I think that'd be so awesome. it's like, I don't know. Yeah, it's like the end of Parade. Like that does not work. It's like Ben Platt, Leo Frank, and everyone's just like, what's happening? Yeah, but like shows like Six, like MJ, like Moulin Rouge, like Wicked, like Book of Mormon, like, I don't know. I just think School of Rock. Yeah. Really? did he do that like during when the band was playing and he was like introducing the band? And it's like the kid, because the kids are the band? Or it's like how, like it was it during Bows and Alex Brightman was introducing them? Interesting. That's really cool. That's really cool. That's what I mean. Right. I meant if it's like, if it's like each part of the show and he's like, and we've got whatever is Timmy on drums. And it's like, but the actual dude's name. Oh, I see. It was part of the show. Yeah, I don't know. That's hilarious. But no, I don't know. I just think, I think it would be really cool because a lot of people don't read playbills and they don't like, I don't know. It's, I'm not saying you need to be like announcing the cast of Dancin', Liam Henry Ellis, BA, Musical Theater, Wagner College. His most recent credits include, yeah, right. Like you don't, Liam Ellis is ecstatic. So, but I think just, yeah, what Dancin' is doing is exactly, that'd be hilarious. And they just have to stand there and be like, yeah, yeah, thanks. Thank you. You bish. But I think, yeah, it's just, and now, the University of New Hampshire. I think, I don't know, but yeah, I think that'd be cool. That was a little tangent. But this is really interesting. Casey Likes is your new Marty McFly. Not new, the original Marty McFly in the Broadway production of Back to the Future. He's fresh off Almost Famous. This is going to be his second show in this calendar year. Just barely missed competing with himself for Best Actor in a Leading Role. Not saying I think he'll be nominated for both, but this close. I think if he can kill Marty, he could absolutely be nominated for this. Casey Likes is 21 and made his Broadway debut with Almost Famous. And this came out of nowhere for me. I got this notification and I was in the dressing room at Little Women this past weekend. I'm like, wait, Casey Likes is doing this? Like, this guy was just in Almost Famous. Like, this is, I didn't see this coming at all. Like, if you asked me who's going to be playing Marty McFly, I would have assumed, like, a Broadway person, someone who's already made their Broadway debut. I guess it kind of checks all the boxes, but it's not who I was thinking. It's great. I love it. But he's totally making a splash, and good for Casey. I love this. This is pretty cool. Because I also was like, maybe their Marty would just transfer over, but I know a few people from the London production are going to transfer over to Broadway, but I don't think he will. Speaking of, I just bought tickets to see that, so I'll see it in a few months, which will be cool. Not on Broadway, but in London, which would be cool. The Zero Time Tony Award nominated revival of Funny Girl has set its closing date this fall on September 3rd. This comes after Lea Michele's extension in the show put her at 1 year since stepping into the role. I want to talk about this because this didn't come as a surprise. What I think happened here, and I think you're going to agree with me, is they said, yo, Lea, do you want to do this for another 6 months? And she said, yeah. And then they said, cool, we're not going to run the show past then. And that's it. That was the conversation. Because Lea Michele's extension just came. I think we talked about it last week, that Lea Michele was going to be doing this for a little bit longer. Or they came out very close to one another. And then, yeah, why run this production anymore? I'm going to assume they've recouped. If not, they will have by the time they close, or else why not just keep running, just pay Lea more to entice her to stay. She's been doing it for a year. I think that's very, very standard nowadays for doing a show. And if you can commit a year of your time, no one's going to blame you for leaving. You've done your time. A year is very, very standard now. I think this this comes with when Raheem Karimloo also wants to be done, and Tova will be done, and who are there other leads? Is Jared Grimes with the show still? I think he is. Yeah. Ramin's stepping away for the summer. He'll be back. But I think, yeah, this mainly... Yeah, I think so. It said in the press release for this that Ramin would be done. It was like, this comes after all these people signed extensions. So they extended Lea, and then... I mean... If you ask the producers of this show, they're going to tell you they wish they just opened this with Lea. and that sucks. And I'm fully on the Justice for Beanie Feldstein train. Well, I'm on the Justice for Beanie Feldstein train, where we shouldn't have just completely run her out of town with torches and pitchforks. But I do believe that she was not right for the part, and I do believe that I'm in support of, like, there were so many people who could have blah 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 blah. But yeah, no, this makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Funny Girl was never going to last without Leah. We saw it in the grosses last week. The grosses are right back this week to where they were. And why operate this show without her? A lot of people are like, why can't Julie Benko just do it? It's like, Julie Benko doesn't want to do it. Like, right! You sold 80% of your house when it was just Julie Benko. Like, right, I know. Or it's like, why can't Julie Benko do it? It's like, if Julie Benko wanted to do it, she'll do the tour. She's not going to do it. She doesn't want to do it. She's done. Like, Julie Benko is booked and busy. And no, this is huge. This is huge for Julie Benko. I think this, her doing this standby job is huge. And I think it has to do with social media, and I think it has to do with everyone just, if you can't love Leah, you can love the next best, like, you can love the second in line in this show, which is, like, people who want to root for this show, myself included. I've never been against Funny Girl. I think it's kind of funny that Funny Girl and Bad Cinderella and a certain amount of shows in this season are, like, kind of meme-ish, and people just kind of love to shit on them, and I'm included in that. I think it's just really funny. But in all seriousness, I think this has all been good for Julie Benko, and I think, yeah, I don't know. I think we've made our points pretty clear. This is cool. So this is the fun fact of the day. I only included this because I thought it was interesting. OG Come From Away members Patrina Bromley and Astrid Van Warren are going to swap roles in the upcoming production of Come From Away in Gander. So Patrina Bromley will now play Beverly and others, and Astrid Van Warren will play Diane and others. Astrid Van Warren is, she would play the woman who loves dogs and was like, I have to save them on the plane. And then Patrina Bromley is the woman who I forget what her character does, but it's really cool. I think, I don't know. I was just like, oh, me neither. But I love this show, and I think this is really cool. They've been doing, these two women ran with this show the whole time it was on Broadway, and very obviously love telling the story and love doing this. Their OG company stayed, except like three people, four people. And Jinkalila came back. Right. She's just the biggest star in the cast. And like, you can't. Yeah. Yeah. No. At least I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, she was nominated by Best Performance in an Actress in a Featured Role for Come From Away, but she did not win. That was the 2017 Tony Awards. That's a great question. Do you want to take our next point? And I will keep looking up that, the 2017 Tony Awards. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, that was also not really. Yeah, it was just a weird thing that happened. Hadestown's a machine. Similar, like, if you've seen the musical, it's about a, like, the ensemble of this show represents what Hadestown, the Broadway production, is. It's a machine. It works. It does its job. It sells tickets. Everyone who comes and sees it, it's their new favorite show. And it's going to run for a long time. I give it at least another year. Maybe two. Yeah. Mm-mm. Nope. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So Reeve and Eva have been doing it since the beginning. And Reeve Carney and Eva Nobilizada, you know, have been dating since what, how long into the show was it? Yeah. 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 Hadestown opened April 17th of 2019. So they ran for, you know, close to a year and then got shut down. And then Eva and Reeve have come back since opening in the end of 2020. So they've been doing this for coming up 3 years now, which is that it's not who's the guy's name in Book of Mormon right now, but like, yeah, it's great. But like Reeve and Eva, I made a prediction on the podcast a little while ago that I thought that they would get announced just after the Christmas lull, or during the Christmas lull, the not the Christmas lull, the winter lull, which is what we're in right now. And I thought that an announcement would have come with this, that Lilias White, Jewel Blackman, and Tom Hewitt were going to be extending, but then we were going to be replacing our Orpheus and Eurydice. But if they're good to keep going, like, yeah, keep going. Like, I'm sure it's kind of the dream job for them. Like, if you could imagine working alongside your significant other every day, like Stephanie J. Block and Sebastian Arcellus, like, love doing it to the woods, and they're going on tour because they can do it together. It's so easy. They can just bring their daughter with, like, it makes so much sense. It is so beautiful. I know. I know. And that's cool. And that's really cool because Gavin Creel's awesome. Yeah. I think he has pink hair now. I think I saw that. That's pretty cool. But yeah, I love that. So I found the 2017 Tony Awards. Best performance by an actress in a featured role in a musical. The nominees were Rachel Bay Jones for Dear Evan Hansen, Mary Beth Peel for Anastasia, Jen Colella for Come From Away, Stephanie J. Block, speaking of, for Falsettos, and Kate Baldwin for Hello, Dolly. This is pretty stacked. I mean, Rachel Bay Jones, Stephanie J. Block, and Jen Colella are the three that stick out to me. Who do you think won? It makes perfect sense when you hear the answer. Rachel Bay Jones for Dear Evan Hansen, Mary Beth Peel for Anastasia, Jen Colella for Come From Away, Stephanie J. Block for Falsettos, and Kate Baldwin for Hello, Dolly. No, it was Rachel Bay Jones, Dear Evan Hansen, which I forget a lot of the time. Dear Evan Hansen won a lot of Tony Awards. Right, exactly. Yeah. But she was amazing. That's the thing. It was just like, yeah, she was great. She was really good. And no, she did. And I think based off of, I've only seen three of those performances. I have not seen, I've seen Jen, Stephanie, and Rachel. But I thought Rachel was really good. So I get it. I get it. Dear Evan Hansen is a good show. I like Dear Evan Hansen. There's a lot of people that will disagree with me. The show didn't age as well as it could have, because there's a lot of people today who will just shit on Dear Evan Hansen because like that's kind of the norm now, and because the movie just really killed that whole show's vibe. And it's really cool to hate Dear Evan Hansen. Similar to how it's cool to hate Bad Cinderella, I think that we can take a little Gavin with Liam intermission. We have got so we've talked about Liam's roommate in college, Nick, went and saw Bad Cinderella. And right as I saw this, I was like, okay, I need a review on this show. I've seen so many people who go to see this show and say it's terrible. I haven't listened to this yet. I don't know if you have either. Have you? But I'm very, very interested to hear what he has to say. And it's pretty long. It's about 10 minutes. So he gave us a really in-depth review, I would assume. But I'm really excited to hear this. So here is Nick on Bad Cinderella. Okay, it's going to load, and until it loads, I'm going to give you one more fact that Maude Apatow has extended in her run as Audrey in Little Shop off Broadway. She's now going to be in the show through Sunday, April 30th, adding an additional month of performances, which is really cool. Drew Gehlig, you think so? But
What
Drew
is up,
Gehlig
Gavin with
is the
Liam
new Orange
podcast?
Scarbello DDS
I
starting March
am Nick.
14th.
I am Liam's college roommate, and I have the extensive pleasure to be the Gavin with Liam field reporter. talking about my experience at Andrew Lloyd Webber's Bad Cinderella this past weekend. I saw it March 4th, 8 p.m. So it is still in previews, if that gives you any sort of time frame reference of when I did see the show. Things could change by the time you're listening to this or, you know, whatever. But this is my review of for when I went to go see that show. So I went to go see the show with my girlfriend, Sam. We went and did Broadway Roulette, which if you guys haven't done before, is a super great and fun option. If you don't cross off Aladdin and Chicago, you will be going to either Aladdin or Chicago. But other than that, it's a completely random pick. They give you a certain list of musicals, and then you know, I'm not going to mansplain how to do Broadway Roulette. But anyway, we won tickets to Bad Cinderella, which, in all honesty, I was so super excited to see that we got Bad Cinderella tickets because I was not going to spend my money willingly on this show. The fact that we got it picked for us was great because I'm so excited to see it without the bias of, you know, I'm buying tickets for Bad Cinderella. It made me feel better in my head. So yeah, my overall rating, real quick before we get into the nitty-gritty, is a 2.5 out of 5 stars. I have to go with right in the middle. It is simultaneously a 0-star show and a 5-star show. The worst I've ever seen, but also a hell of a time. But the show is not terrible. It's just, it needs a lot of work, but it's a hell of a lot of fun. But the writing sucks. About the plot. So the plot about Cinderella revolves around Prince Charming going AWOL. Prince Charming goes AWOL and the war. He leaves his wonderful town of Belleville, which is straight out of The Real Housewives. Everyone is beautiful. Everyone is perfect. You know, you all dress in super fashionable clothes and everyone is the hottest girl and the hottest guy alive. Leaves the wonderful town and kingdom of Belleville alone with the queen, played by the outstandingly talented Grace McLean as the queen, which we'll get into later. And also her son, Prince Sebastian, her second son, who is an outcast. He's not conventionally attractive and he doesn't have time for all the girls. He doesn't get all the hype about liking a girl. He'd rather, you know, spend more time in his books and in his studies. But you know who he does have an eye for? Bad Cinderella. Bad Cinderella. She's not like your other girls. She's a bad Cinderella. Speaking of that, I didn't know that the third title or the third song in the show was the title song. And it is a horrible shift from the opening number to Bad Cinderella. It's literally like, "Welcome to Belleville, everyone's hot." Bad Cinderella, Bad Cinderella. Like, ugh, whatever. Anyway. So the show is so expressively camp. It is so bad, the writing. There are literally 900 ballads, what feels like. I think we counted, and we counted 7 in Act 2 alone, with 4 in Act 1 with a 5th questionable, but like it's like in the middle of another one. Kind of unforgivable. 2 things I would like to mention. Number one, kind of a lighter subject, but still awfully terrible. The lead of the show, Bad Cinderella herself, is played by, Lanady, Ganeo. I apologize if I pronounced her last name wrong, so I will only be referring to her as Lanady. She's a great actress, don't get me wrong. But she's horribly miscast. Her voice is just not right for the show, which is just of no fault of her own. But she definitely has potential in a role that's cast for herself. The thing I do want to bring up, though, is that she is of Latin descent, and it's expressively written into the show that she has a, like, for lack of a better term, like, you know, the stereotypical like Latin flair accent that it's like, I don't know, you see on Modern Family with Sofia Vergara, you see, you know, if you think of it, you're like your sassy Latina accent. She speaks in that, but suspiciously, not throughout the entire show, only at certain lines that can come off as sassy. I'm not going to try to interpret, you know, the accent, but it's kind of, it comes off as kind of distasteful. Question mark, because there's really no place that this geographic location that this show is set in, because yes, like we know it's a fictional kingdom of Belleville, but like there are American accents, there's English accents, and then also Lenady's completely a Latin flair sass accent that I'm completely out of place, and I'm like, whoa. Another unforgivable thing, heavy trigger warning, not about what I'm going to say, but with the show itself. Please do not go see the show if you have any sort of body dysmorphia, body image issues, struggled with eating disorders, because the show is very, very upfront and brutal about if you don't fit society's conventional standards of beauty, go alter it. If you don't look how, if you don't like how you look, go fix it. You know, if you're not beautiful, you're worthless. The godmother scene, which by the way, godmother is criminally underused. She's only in about like 3 minutes of the whole show. But when she is the driving point of change, I would like to say. Her scene, instead of, you know, making a pumpkin into a carriage and mice into horses and giving Cinderella the wonderful ball dress so she can go to the prince's ball, it is a violent plastic surgery scene where they remove ribs and, quote, slice off cellulite because Cinderella's not beautiful enough for the prince. And the prince wouldn't like that. So she reluctantly goes through with it, and she's like, oh my god, I'm so beautiful because I got all my fat chopped off and my ribs broken, and now I'm so skinny and wonderful. And then she gets there, and the prince doesn't like how she altered herself, so now she's permanently stuck with it, except at midnight. So at midnight, the dress doesn't come off, her ugliness comes back in. That was the midnight trope. But yeah. The good things about the show, Carolee Carmillo as the queen, or sorry, the stepmother, and Grace McLean as the queen, absolutely slayed the house down. They are absolutely phenomenal character actresses, and I love their chemistry, and both of their singing voices and acting chops are 5 stars alone. I wish we had a whole show of just the two of them. And also, without heavy spoilers, the ending to the show is so ridiculously camp that I was screaming my head off, and I thought that that was the greatest choice they could have ever made at the end of the show, and it is just a hell of a time. So good, but I think I have severe Stockholm syndrome, because at the first 15 minutes of Act 1, I wanted to gouge my eyes out with an ice pick, and then at the end of the show, I walked out, and I'm like, that was the greatest amount of fun I've ever had at Broadway. So yeah, my final advice to you, lowly listener, and also Gavin and Liam, if you go to plan to go see Andrew Lloyd Webber's Bad Cinderella, please do not spend your hard-earned money on the good seats. I know Gavin likes to sit as egregiously close to the stage as possible. Please don't spend good money on good seats. Sit in the nosebleeds, sit in the bad seats, get in there for $15 and buy yourself a good Broadway $75 triple wine. You deserve it. Because you need it. Yeah. That's my take on Bad Cinderella. Overall, 2.5 out of 5. It's got a lot of room for improvement, but I've definitely seen worse. Hell of a time. Terribly written. It should be burned in a trash can. Thank you, Gavin and Liam, for having me on. Liam, miss you very much. Hope you're having the best time in Italy. Gavin, hope you're having the best of time at UNH. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for having me on, and have a good rest of your day.
Wow. That was straight through fire. That was amazing. Thank you so much, Nick. Right as I saw that Nick posted a playbill pick of this show, I was like, yep, we're going to need a review. A lot to unpack. A lot of really good things to say. But yeah, no, this would be a great show to get through Broadway Roulette. I think this is kind of the perfect scenario because you don't have to, you can pay as little as possible. You get to see it because like a lot of the weirdness of Bad Cinderella is kind of working to their advantage where like everyone hates it, but like wants to see it for themselves because just to like make their own opinion. And so I think it could work to their advantage at some point. I am not planning on seeing this show. But I'm really glad now that I know a little bit more about it. And yeah, just a lot. That'd be cool. It does feel a lot like Diana. I finally watched that. Well, I was going to say I finally watched it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said burn it. Yeah. How many shows does Nick see a year? Do you know? We could always get that from him, but is it more than 10 in a calendar year, you think? Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, and because I know Nick is a nursing major? Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of what I expected. The whole body image issues of the show, I think, is kind of a problem. Not kind of, is a problem. I haven't seen it, so I don't actually know what that looks like. But if the premise of the show is you need to be skinny and you need to be conventionally attractive, like that's a really tough look. The miscast of I forget her name. The miscast of the lead of Cinderella makes sense. I was also a little skeptical of it. But yeah, I don't know. Bad Cinderella just I'm glad that the ending is good. I'm glad that Nick really likes the ending and that it's camp and that that's the best. But I don't know. I don't know. That's all I can really say about this. Uh-huh. I think our take on right. It feels like I'm rubbernecking Bad Cinderella. Maybe that's the title of the show, is Rubbernecking Bad Cinderella. I've been coming up with these on the podcast recently. Makes my job so much easier. Okay. Okay. Wow. Of the musical? Wow. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see the concept album now on Spotify. Yeah, she's singing on the concept album. Okay. If through till now. Gotcha. That's kind of where history picks up with what most people know. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, this London cast transferred. That's really cool. Really? That's interesting. Yeah, Hadestown, I mean, it's just that kind of show that no one really wants to leave because it's so good. And it's like, it's such a passion project for everyone a part of it. But that's really cool. I think the verdict on Bad Cinderella is that it's just the most horrendously mid thing ever. It's not, you can't take it. It's not good enough to be taken seriously. It's not bad enough to be bad. It's like Diana. It's like, you just can't take it seriously. It's just what it is. And it's like, I don't really know what you were going for here, but like what I just watched, I can't really make an opinion about because I still don't understand it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. And Diana's on stage quick change. Yeah. I have no idea. Costume design is absolutely going to be nominated. A lot of technical elements will be nominated. I don't know how many performances will be nominated. I mean, like he said, Grace McLean and the woman playing, he said the characters, the stepmom and the godmother, will probably get a nomination, but I don't know. Who knows? A few more points for you here. The Play That Goes Wrong has extended through October of this year. Tickets are now on sale through October 29th. This past Sunday, they played their 1,000th performance at New World Stages off Broadway, which is really cool. That is insane. It's super insane. Also, you know, one thing that we were talking about was that Liam specifically gets really upset when shows don't make it to like a little bit of a milestone. And we were talking about how Funny Girl has just announced that they're going to be closing after 599 performances. Yeah, like just one more show. Like, right. And I know you've been upset about these recently. It's tough. I get it. I understand. But anyways, I got two more points. Olivia Holt is going to be making her debut on Broadway in Chicago as Roxy Hart starting April 10th. I do not know who she is. She has a lot of followers on Instagram and she will engage through June 4th. This point's pretty interesting. I think I lost Liam. He'll be back soon. I'm honestly surprised that our connection holds up as good as it does, given the fact that he's in Europe. But Olivia Holt, just from the little bit of research that I did, she's an actress. She's been in Hulu stuff. She's been in some different TV things. And I don't know. I don't really know who she is. I'm excited that I think she's going to be the kind of person who can pull in that audience that isn't conventionally theater people. We've seen this with JoJo in Moulin Rouge, and I think there's going to be a ton of people who are willing to come to the theater to see Olivia Holt because they know who she is. She had a ton of Instagram followers. Like, that's the first search that I did, and her Instagram came up, and she has 5.1 million followers, which I know it's like not like abnormal for celebrities to have a ton of Instagram followers, but like I don't know who she is. I really, just what I'm getting is she's an actress. I think this is going to be really cool. I love this decision. And she's only there for 8 weeks. So that's also the good news about that. And the last bullet point that I have for you for the day is that the 5 playbills for the 5 nights of the Jonas Brothers concert were revealed today. And they look awesome. I don't really know what I expected. They put their album covers on the playbills, which makes sense, but just like the vibe of it and the aesthetic of it is really cool. I don't know what I expected, but I'm really excited to see that. I don't know. It looks great. Liam hopefully can be coming back. He said that his Wi-Fi is not working. I'm going to start the grosses and then he can give us the catchphrase when he comes back. But I'm just going to keep pushing through here because I don't want to have to do anything again. Man, that's gross. So the grosses were not good. Grosses were down 3% in total, which isn't mayhem, but it is not good. The top show this week was The Phantom of the Opera, and coming in at about $2.5 million. And the shows to sell out this week were The Phantom of the Opera, Sweeney Todd, Hamilton, and that's about it. The shows that came close were... There's not many shows that came close. Everything was down. There was no shows that were above 98%, which is what I usually say came close. Because last week we had 7 shows to completely sell out. This week we only had 3, and it's the 3 that usually sell out. MJ is really, I don't want to say struggling, because it's not that it's bad. It's just that a bad week for them used to be 99.9, which is what they had week ending last week. I can't say week ending last week. That's not a real statement. Week ending 226. But for week ending 3-5, they came in at about 93.5%, which is down 6.5%. That's kind of the biggest MJ swing that I've seen. I think it's just showing that this show isn't not immune to everything else that every other show is feeling. Every show took a gross loss this week, like a percentage decline, except Funny Girl's grosses were up 94%. Which they were down last week. They were down 50% last week, and the grosses fell about $950,000, and grosses were back up $875,000. So it makes sense for Funny Girl, but not really for everything else. I think it's really just it being the Christmas, I keep saying the Christmas, it keeps being the winter lull. It's just this like, this dead of winter, like depression season where no one wants to come and see theater, and it's just not a travel season and it's not the height of Broadway. But the shows that had a positive week over week were Parade and Sweeney Todd, which makes sense because Parade played 3 more performances than they did last week. They played 4 shows last week. They played 7 this week. And Sweeney Todd played 5 more. They played 1 last week and were at 6 this week. Sweeney Todd sold all of their seats. They sold all 8,988 of them, and Parade was at about 95% capacity, which is, you know, pretty good. It's not where I would have seen it coming in, and I don't think it's where you would expect slash want it to be in your second week of previews, but, you know, it could be worse. I did the same thing that I did last week, so I took the average for one day of grosses and just multiplied it to what it would be if these shows were playing a full 8. And Parade this week would have come in at about $1.1 million. Sweeney Todd would have come in at about just less than $2.1 million, which is the just about exact same as last week. So money-wise, per show, they're making just about the same, which is what you would expect. I feel like I said, Parade will hover at the low $1 million. Sweeney Todd will hover at high $1 million, low $2 million range. But yeah, you love to see it. The shows that went down and went down hard were And Juliet. Their capacity went from over 100 to 93, and then their grosses fell close to 18%, which is not good. Aladdin had the objectively worst week this week compared to last week. Their grosses fell 30%, and their house capacity went from 99.6 to 93.5, which isn't fun. It's not great. And Aladdin, you don't need to worry. It's not something to worry about. And I think Aladdin just gets hit a lot harder with no tourism, similar to what we were seeing with Beetlejuice, and similar to what these shows kind of see, similar with Lion King, which is the other Disney show. Lion King was down close to 13% in the grosses. They went from selling out to 96% capacity, which is fine. Lion King is much more resistant to the swing in tourism than Aladdin, but you know, nonetheless, it still has that swing. The most surprising, maybe not so surprising, decline was Bad Cinderella was down 17% in the grosses, and they went from selling 93% of their tickets to 89%, which in-house capacity isn't completely terrible, but, you know, it's just not really what you want to see. Liam's given me an update. Now his Wi-Fi is completely down. I might just have to finish the episode without him, which really sucks. But yeah, everything else here was in double digit declines. Some were close to 20%. Some, like It Hot, was close to 20%. Wicked was down 22%. And everything else was, Harry Potter was down 22%. Everything else was 10 to 15, 16% declines, which is really, it's not good in the grosses. In ticket sales and house capacity, it's not that bad. Harry Potter was down 13%. Kimberly Akimbo was down 11%. Kimberly Akimbo went from 95% of their house to 84%, which is really sucky because I want to see this show do well, but, you know, it's not supposed to be bigger than it is. It hovers at $500,000 every week, which is fine. It's not a very expensive show. That's what Kimberly Akimbo is. Ain't no thing. We're on scary watch for Leopoldstadt and Some Like It Hot. Some Like It Hot's ticket capacity dropped to 63%, and Leopoldstadt's dropped to 61%. The grosses for Leopoldstadt dropped 13.5%, and Some Like It Hot dropped almost 20%. You don't like to see that. Some Like It Hot had the worst week in the difference for ticket sales. And scary watch. 60% capacity is scary watch. I missed this. We had one more in scary watch, but it's Pictures from Home. Pictures from Home has been on scary watch since last week. They were at 65%, same as last week. Their grosses were down 9.5%, same as last week. I think that is just about it. A few more quick facts for you. The most expensive show to go see, the ticket average was at Funny Girl at $204. Bad Cinderella was the cheapest show to go see at $66. And the most expensive top ticket sold this week was at Funny Girl at $549. We've seen that quite a bit. We had 20 more performances this week. So that was 20 more, I don't know, performances. I don't know how else to say that. Performances played this week. And the ticket average was down 3%, so it was a little bit cheaper this week. Like I said before, grosses were down 3%. And attendance was the exact same. We sold, in percentage of how many seats we had available, we sold just about the same as last week. So even though the grosses fell, we were selling more seats. They were just cheap seats. That's kind of how that has to work. It's you know, kind of surprising to not see that the attendance for these shows was really bad. So for attendance to kind of be the same. So last week we sold 202,000 tickets. This week we sold close to 203,000 tickets. So I think that has to do with gaining Danson. I don't think I've mentioned already that previews have started for Bob Fosse's Danson. So we picked up about 3,500 tickets from that. So that's kind of why our attendance didn't fall that much. But in comparison to out of 100% of tickets available last week compared to this week, attendance has fallen and less people were seeing theater compared to how many seats were available. So not a good week. Something you have to expect. I've been kind of surprised in weeks past that we haven't seen something like this just because we're in that dead of winter and it's really not panic season, because that's kind of already would have happened with all the shows closing and then nothing really opening. But we're going to start to enter a really, really nice spring with shows opening. We just had Sweeney Todd open. We just had Parade open. We just had Danson open. And we got some great variety on stage right now. And I am not worried about it. But I'm really sad I don't get to close this out with Liam. And we'll be back next week. Liam will be back next week. We'll get his Wi-Fi working. But until next time, see you later.